Good afternoon. Thank you, Chad. I tell you what, that was a great lunch. Getting some amens here. Wow, that was very good. You know, the title of the lesson this afternoon is How Well Do You Get Along with Others? That's the question. How well do you get along with others? You know, I think most of us like to think that we get along pretty well with everybody. There was one fella who said, I can get along with anybody as long as they do it my way. Well, you know, it's easy to get along with everybody if everybody's doing it our way. And we do know that there are some people who are difficult to get along with along the way. Maybe they're difficult in some ways, and it just isn't easy. But I want you to think about this afternoon for just a few minutes. And that is, it's really how we treat others that makes a difference. You know, I really can't get along with so-and-so. Can't get along with this other person. And then you really begin to think, what really makes the difference is how we treat others. I want us to look at some points this afternoon that can build positive relationships, better relationships. And you've probably heard these before. And it's not the hearing of these before, it's putting those things into practice. What steps can we take to have better relationships, just getting along with other people? First of all, guard your tongue. You know, you go back to James 3 and there's just a long discussion about the tongue. And when it comes to this matter of guarding our tongue, it is don't say everything we think. I mean, there's some people you say, I'm going to tell them how the cow ate the cabbage. I'm going to go in there and give them a piece of my mind. I am going to tell them exactly what I think. Well, that may not always be the best approach. Because some people speak their mind when they ought to spend, when they ought to spend more time minding their speech. And so there is that passage in James chapter 1 and verse 19, be swift to hear, slow to speak. How can we cultivate those better relationships? It is to guard your tongue. Secondly, it is to disagree without being disagreeable. You know, there's sometimes you find people who disagree, and they cannot disagree agreeably. There is something about that disagreement that hurts their relationship. It doesn't create anything positive in their relationship. It's almost like, well, if you disagree with me, you must be my enemy. If you disagree with me, then you just must not have right thinking. We can disagree without being disagreeable because anybody can start an argument. Anybody can argue. It doesn't take much effort to be a person who creates friction and who argues. In fact, the proverb says this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving. Honorable to stop striving, since any fool, now this is the New King James Version, since any fool can start a quarrel. You know, any, according to Scripture, and that word fool is in the Scripture, any fool can start an argument. Any fool can be disagreeable to the point of just arguing about anything and everything. So be able to disagree without being disagreeable. Number three is be an encourager. If you've got an encourager in your life, you are blessed. If you've got somebody who is a Barnabas, who offers those words of encouragement, then you have somebody that is looking out for you. Because we need to look for those opportunities of encouragement, to encourage each other, to lift up each other. And just a word of praise, just a word of encouragement can go along in making anybody's day. Sometimes we don't realize the power of encouragement. Or maybe we're just not tuned in to the lives of those people who need encouragement. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. And then it says, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. You know, brother so-and-so seemed to be down, seemed to be out, just seemed to be depressed a little bit. Oh, well, what can I do? And then we go about our business. This passage says a good word. This passage says good words makes it glad. That's all it takes. That's all it takes is just a good word, a word of encouragement, a word of praise, a word of lifting up. And all of us at one time or another, we've had those words. We've gotten those cards. And we know everything that that means. So be an encourager. Also, show genuine interest. Number four, show genuine interest in others. Regard every person you meet as a person of importance. Brethren, too many times we are just judging people by the exterior. You know, maybe they got long hair, maybe they got shabby clothes, maybe they just look like they haven't bathed in days or weeks. And so we pass some judgment very quickly. And then we realize we're not really not interested in that person. So we are to show interest in every person that we meet as a person of importance. That we treat every person with dignity and respect. Because keep this in mind, every person has been created in the image and likeness of God. And then Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Show a genuine interest in others. And then also put on your list, have a forgiving spirit. Believe that most people are doing the best they can. I don't make personal references too often, but I've just got to make this personal reference to make this point. When Laura and I moved to Omaha in the early 70s, here is a 25-year-old preacher, and preaching in that congregation for about 6 months. And there was a man by the name of Albert. He was one of the deacons. And he came to me one morning, and Sunday morning after it's over, and people are going out, and here's the new preacher, and people are trying to meet, and they're trying to talk. And Albert comes along with a real downer on the sermon. It's a down on the sermon. It's the down on the preacher. Well, there's people around, and it's not the time for discussion. And so I said to him, Albert, you go talk to the elders. I didn't say it in a rough way or a bad way. It was just like, how do I get out of this situation? Well, you go talk to the elders. So I go home, resting, kicked back, David in recliner. The phone rings. Jim Grimes. He was such a godly man, such a shepherd, and he said, "Gerald, we have Albert here in the office." Oh man, can you break away to come and see us? I said, "Yes, I'll be there." So the whole drive over to this meeting, I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to say? What rebut am I going to have? And I just decided, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything unless I'm asked a question. I'm not going to go in there with my defenses up. Not going to orchestrate some kind of argument. I'm just going to be silent. So walk into that meeting with three elders and Albert. And Brother Grimes says to Albert, he says, "Albert, you tell Gerald just what you told us." So goes through this bad sermon, the whole scenario. And after Albert wound down, Brother Grimes, he's since passed. I will always appreciate and love this brother. Brother Grimes, and his wisdom. Brother Grimes asked Albert, said, "Albert, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that all we can expect of a person is their best?" And Albert said, "Yes." He said, "Do you think that Gerald is doing his best?" And he said, "Yes." That meeting was over. A meeting was instantly over. And I sat there in my seat. Albert left. I sat there in my seat completely stunned at just what happened. That situation was diffused instantly. A wise elder stepping up, asking the right question. Because really, when it boils down to it, what do we expect from one another? We expect our best. Do you think he is doing his best? And the answer was yes. What is really interesting about this is about 3 weeks later, on a Sunday morning, Albert came up to me and he just praised me for how much I had improved over the last 3 weeks. It was great. It was wonderful. But I think about the wisdom of one shepherd in that group. who completely diffuse the situation. And so when we come into those kinds of relationships, it is, what do we expect? What do we expect? I just expect to do the best you can. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. This is the New Living Translation. It says, love prospers. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, the Amplified versions concerning love, it says, love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. And so we just believe the best of every person. That most people are trying to do their best, but what do we expect of each person? We expect each person to do their best. And then finally this, forget counting to 10. Count to 100 before you say anything or do anything that makes the matter worse. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding. The church is about relationships, growing those relationships, being ready to improve those relationships, even when it is difficult. Matthew chapter 18. Here is a brother who sins. What are you to do? He says, you go to that brother privately. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, if your brother sins, rebuke him. Matthew 5 says, if you're going to the altar to offer your gift, and remember that your brother has aught against you. You see, all of that has to do with relationships. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it is not easy. But it is the practicing of God's word that makes the difference. Getting along. How can we get along with one another? How can we get along with others? It really boils down to how we treat others, how we respond to others as we carry out specific principles in God's Word that teaches us very clearly how to cultivate Christian relationships. Godly relationships, positive relationships, relationships that will last a lifetime. You know, there are some very close relationships in this congregation. In fact, this is like family. You know, you stick around long enough until you begin to feel like that it's family. And that's because there's been a long time working on relationships, realizing what God's Word has to say about controlling our tongue, how we treat others, how to forgive, how to love, and that we just exercise wisdom in what we say and what we do. Let's pause for a prayer. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of this afternoon, the family that you've given us in the church. Father, the relationships that can be formed that are strong, that are uplifting, that are challenging, that are loving. And Father, sometimes rebuking, but it always comes out of love. That we love you, that we love one another. Father, for your blessings upon the Tuttle congregation as we strive in many areas to carry out your will to grow spiritually, to grow in our love for one another, that you'd be with David and Donnie, that you'd bless them, strengthen them. Father, that you would give them wisdom. And we just pray as a congregation that we will always be seeking to do your will, that we will look out for others and around for others, that we can strengthen, that we can encourage, that we can lift up. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for every good gift that comes to us through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. As we close our service this afternoon, if you need to respond in a way of obedience to the gospel of Christ, prayers, asking prayers from brothers and sisters in Christ, we would ask you to do that as together we stand and sing.